And that's desperate. We have a tremendously high suicide rate. One of the highest youth suicide rates in all the world is in our country. No family is immune from the ravages of the impact of a negative culture. Christian families, ministry families, none of us are immune. And so that's why I was privileged when God brought you folks to mind this summer to be praying for this wonderful camp that operates on this island with the same goals and desires and the same gospel as Word of Life is using to reach young people with the gospel, because that's the only message that will change a life from the inside out. And so I'm just glad to be here with you. And our Bible Institute is off to a good start this year. We just had our students and faculty return from a week of open-air evangelism in Hamilton. We bring in one of our open-air missionaries that does open-air in New York City. They come in and train our students, and then all of our faculty and students pack up vans and a truck and sleeping bags, and they move into the Hamilton area and sleep at a camp and go into the city every day and share the gospel on the streets. And they were able, over the course of 4 days, to give over 350 presentations of the gospel. Saw a couple respond to the message right on the street corners. And those students' lives are changed. Going out terrified, not knowing what to say, not knowing if they could, not knowing if they would survive, and seeing God faithful. And so we thank the Lord. We've got much to thank the Lord for. One of the themes of our Bible Institute, it is the theme for this year, is identity. And I know coming in for one night, you've probably got a Bible series or you're working your way through a book or a portion of Scripture. It's a little bit challenging to come in for one night and interrupt that flow of things. And so I was asking the Lord what I might be able to share tonight, and the Lord brought the theme of our Bible Institute in mind and said, why don't you share something on identity? Identity is under attack today. The uniqueness of one's identity is under attack. It doesn't matter whether you're unique or not. Gender is being blended. Everything around gender is being blended. In Ontario, our Premier Wynne, is currently, it's probably been behind the scenes for some time now, but she's launching a special initiative to rewrite the laws of Ontario. And any law that says mother is being removed and being replaced with birth parent. Over the last year, the birth certificates in Ontario for a newborn no longer identify gender. And so when you take the concept of identity and put it in the Christian realm, the Christian identity is being challenged today. Uniqueness of being a believer and standing out and standing up and knowing who you are and why you are that way is under attack. In fact, it's one of the great challenges that our younger generation is facing. You see, statistics today indicate in North America that there's not a lot of difference in a general way between the way many Christian young people believe about morality from unsaved young people. It's all blended. And so we need to understand what the Word of God says about our identity. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians, if you take your Bibles there, I'm going to take this theme of identity that is the theme for our Bible Institute, and I'm going to go to the theme verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul's identity his apostleship and all that was connected to that had been under attack in the Corinthian church. It was being challenged. And Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthian church to reinforce who he is and what authority that identity that has been given to him in Christ, what authority as an apostle that gives him for ministering to the churches, and particularly to the Corinthians. I'm going to read a few verses here from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, down to the end of the chapter. Just follow along with me, if you would, please. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This portion of Scripture, particularly the verse that we're going to focus our attention on tonight, addresses our Christian identity. We see here, first of all, in 5:17, it says, if any man. The message of the gospel and the transforming message of the gospel and the transformation that it brings to the lives of sinful human beings is for any man and all men. We see here in this particular area the identification of the person who has been transformed. It's a man. It's a human being like you and me. The gospel is for all men. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. At our church back in Ontario this past Sunday, we had the director of New Tribes Mission speak. He brought a tremendous challenge that reignited my heart about world missions, because our churches are getting numb. It's not as passionate an issue anymore. Many churches today, even in evangelical circles, are more interested about their parking lots and their buildings and this kind of thing. And we got to remember that the message is for any man, that Christ wants to give a new transformation identity to. And there's Tim Watley, the director of New Tribes Mission, grew up in Indonesia. He grew up in a remote tribe, and he shared that morning the importance of seeing the gospel and its transformation and the new identity that Christ gives to a person, that it is for all men, anywhere, for whosoever will may come. And he said that they had discovered in Indonesia back in 1998-1999, just by accident, a remote tribe that had never been contacted by the outside world. And they knew from this region that there were many cannibals in this particular area, even in 1999. And so an initiative was launched to go in and reach this tribe. And if they had gone by canoe or trekked in through the jungle, it would have been 42 to 45 days, and that seemed impossible, but with new technology and helicopters, they took Tim Whatley and his brother-in-law in a helicopter with some supplies and flew into this remote area and found enough space to wiggle down between the big trees. And as the helicopters came down, the tribal men came out with their spears and stood around the edge of the jungle. The women and children all took off into the deep jungle. And the helicopter hovered there, and they were making a decision, do we stay or do we go? And he said they got out terrified, absolutely terrified. And God took from that moment and protected them. This tribe thought, after they got to know their language a little bit in a year or two, they asked them, why didn't you kill us when we came? Said, well, we thought you were evil spirits. And we were afraid. We've never seen anything come out of the sky like that. And we were afraid that if we killed you, the evil spirits might destroy our tribe. And so they were allowed to exist there, learn the language, and today there is a thriving church in that community. And he reminded me, and reminded others, that this identity change, from being a lost sinner, prone to every kind of vice and sin that the human heart can think of, that the gospel is meant to penetrate that life and give a new identity. It's for all men. It's for those that we look down on. It's for those who have never been reached. And so we see the person here, this transformation with a new identity is for all people, if any man. And then we see here, be in Christ. And that speaks of my identity in terms of my position in Christ. What a wonderful security that is. To know that in this world, when everything is falling apart, when families are under attack and there's political uncertainty, as our brother prayed about, in our countries that once were so grounded on the Judeo-Christian principles and the Word of God, they're now turning. Everything is being blended into something that is no longer Christian, where Christians are no longer respected, that there is a security in my position in Christ. If any man be in Christ, that's where I am tonight. And I need to remind myself of that as I get troubled by the things I see. As we have to respond as families to the pressures that come into our families in the invasion of a godless culture into the minds and thinking of people that are very, very close to us. The position of a believer is in Christ. If any man be in Christ, there is security there. I was thinking of what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians. A church that was under persecution, a church that was having difficulty. And Paul had heard a good report, and he sat down and wrote a letter to the Thessalonians. And the first thing he said in opening the letter to the Thessalonians, he said, to the church in Thessalonica, which is in God and in Jesus Christ. He was reminding them in that. That because of their position, there was a security to be able to stand against the persecution that comes. Our brother here earlier prayed about a missionary in Niger being kidnapped. And Christians are under attack today. The director of our Canadian work now. 12 years as a missionary in Nigeria, Canadian. 12 years as a missionary in Nigeria with Word of Life in northern Nigeria, up in the area where Boko Haram has been active. And they've literally seen Christians kicked to death in front of their home. Troubling times, but Paul is saying here that our position is in Christ. He's saying, therefore, I don't know what I would do if I was being persecuted for my faith and my life was on line and I was lined up outside of a school and men with guns go down the line and ask to repeat verses of the Quran, and if they can't be repeated, then they're just executed right there in front of people standing in front of them. I've often wondered in my own mind, would I stand under that kind of persecution? And somehow we see here that there is a type of strength that comes when we really think deeply that our position is in Christ. Our salvation is secure eternally. John chapter 10, 27 to 30, where the Lord Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they come to me. And he gives the image there of my sheep are placed in my hand and no man can pluck them out of my hand. And then he goes on, And he says that that position is even more secure because he says, and my hand is in the hand of the Father, and no one is able to remove them from the hand of the Father. Isn't it wonderful to know in a world that's falling apart that we have a position that is secure if any man be in Christ? And that's why it's so important for anyone within the sound of our voice that comes to our meetings, that we interact with, that they hear the gospel and have an opportunity to have their lives transformed and be placed securely, their eternal destiny placed securely in the hand of the Lord Jesus. So we see the person, we see the position, and then we see the product, a new creation. With a new identity. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There's a new identity here. A new family. The rebirth. The new birth. That we read about in the Gospel of John, for instance, where we are born of God. And where Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. And that birth puts us in a new family. Sons of God. There's a new fellowship. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's part of that product that is produced by a new identity. Friends, the world has no access to the kind of fellowship that we have here tonight. I think we take it for granted. I know I take it for granted sometimes. But this by the transforming power of God when he saved me and gave me eternal life, he also put me in a new family with a new fellowship that ministers to my heart. Sometimes this new fellowship has to rebuke me where iron sharpens iron. And a brother needs to come along, or more likely in my case, it's a young person that comes along and says, hey, I just noticed something. They point out something in your life, and you can deal with it in a fellowship situation and respond and grow to become more like what Christ wants you to become. It's a new fellowship. It's real. It's something that the world doesn't have. It's something that is connected to only who we are, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got access to this new, precious fellowship. One of the challenges at camp this past summer was we didn't have a lifeguard. We were coming right up to camp, and I can't swim. So that wasn't going to work. That was not the answer. And we needed a lifeguard, and we tried everything. We connected with other camps. We connected with our campuses in Florida and Scroon Lake and in Sherbrooke, and we were getting nowhere. And finally, I put a little message out on Facebook. Actually, what I did was I sent a message to my son, who is a pastor, an associate pastor in Waterloo, and he put it out on Facebook. And he's got a lot more contacts than I have. And lo and behold, someone that had moved a year or two ago from his church up into our area was working with a lady and just happened to know that this lady had a daughter who was taking lifeguarding training. And mentioned it to that lady, and that lady mentioned it to the daughter, and I got a call from the daughter. And the daughter said, "My name is, and I hear you're looking for a lifeguard." And I said, "Yes, we are." And she said, well, I've got all my qualifications, et cetera, et cetera. And so I said, "Listen, would you come over and get an application?" She even lived right in the area. And I said, "Would you come over and get an application and fill it out, and then we can talk and we'll see where this would go." So she did. She took the application. She said, "Now, one thing I need to tell you, I'm sort of religious, but I'm not really religious. And we were looking for someone just to come in for a couple hours a day. We didn't have anybody in our student body who was going to be able to do that." And so I had reached the point where I was willing to take someone, treat them like a contract situation, bring them in for a couple hours a day to lifeguard at our pool. And so I said, "Well, listen, you take the application and then we'll talk about it." So she took the application, came in and saw me, had it completely filled out. She said, "I needed to take another day or two on that application." I said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "I had to do some research." And I'm thinking, what kind of research would you have to do? You know, it's name, address, what are your qualifications, et cetera, et cetera. But then I realized there were questions about faith. And she said, "Now, my mom and dad were not very religious, but my dad was religious at one time. And when I got down into those questions about sin and salvation and testimony and things like that," she said, I went and got my dad's old Bible and I looked up those references and studied them. Well, there's initiative here. That's a good thing in a lifeguard. A lot of responsibility. And then I looked at her answers, and they were really good. This is an unsaved girl. Anyway, we hired her as an unsaved contract worker to come in and lifeguard at our camp. That's not the way we usually operate, but for some reason, God put us in a corner, and there was no other way. And so we did. She was tremendous. And our staff would witness to her and go around when she was there and look after her and socialize with her a little bit, some of our Bible Institute staff. The end of the summer, we noticed, I noticed, I spoke at a couple of campfires, and she wasn't required to be at campfire. She was just required to be there from 2 to 4:30 in the afternoon to operate the pool and keep kids from drowning. And she started to come to campfires. And at the end of camp, we had a closing night for our staff, an appreciation for our summer staff. And she came up to our assistant camp director, who really had more of a supervising role over jobs and staff. And she came up to our supervisor and she said, "You know, this is an awesome place. She said, I've never seen so many different people from different backgrounds enjoy each other and get along so well with each other. You know what she had noticed? Our identity as Christians, there is a genuine fellowship that the world can't understand. They don't know where it comes from. The world sings to get happy. We sing because we are happy. It's a total difference. She had been in different places and had never seen people like a summer staff like that get along so well. She said, I'd love to come back next year. I think she's going to get saved. I don't know whether we've got a lifeguard in our student body this year or not. If we do, well, we may have to have two lifeguards next year because I'd love to see Bailey come back. I was praying she would get saved this summer. God, in His sovereign understanding of all things, didn't see fit for that to happen. But listen, dear friends, the product is a new creation brought about by new birth. And it gives us a new walk. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. There is a wonderful horizontal fellowship that should be part of who we are. Just a tremendous caring and love for each other, and an encouragement and a prodding of each other, provoking one another to good works, provoking one another to share the gospel. And then, of course, this new walk, as we walk in the light and walk worthy, there is a wonderful vertical relationship with our Lord. What fellowship this new creation gives to us. This product of being in Christ. There are times, maybe you haven't gone through these yet, but you will, because sooner or later life comes unglued. And there are times when there are no answers. When the government can't help you. When education is not enough. When the struggles of life or the circumstances that have come into our lives are just so overwhelming that you can't see your way out, and yet you've got this wonderful vertical relationship and horizontal relationship with God's people, that only those of us who identify ourselves genuinely as Bible-believing Christians enjoy. We see the product, a new creation, a new family as a result of the new birth, a new fellowship as a result of a new walk in the light, and then there's a new freedom. Sin has no ultimate dominion over our lives. That has been broken. We have been redeemed. By the power of God, relying on the Holy Spirit and in obedience to God's Word and in fellowship with God's people, we can be more than conquerors. And those that don't have this identity don't have access to that. It's not possible for them. And then the last thing that I'd like us to consider is this. We continue through this verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That phrasing there reminds me that there's a process. It's a continual process in our lives as believers. That our sanctification of becoming more and more like Christ, it doesn't happen all at once. Paul said, I know how, and I have learned that in whatsoever state I am in. You see, the Christian life is one where we become more like Christ. Until one day we are going to be like Him. Look at, just in closing here, please, look at 1 John chapter 3. I'm just going to read a couple of verses there. And Paul had said, I have learned that in whatsoever state I am in, therein to be content. Here we see here in 1 John 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. What an identity, in that new family, that new relationship. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. You know, the transformation that takes place when someone trusts Christ as their personal Savior is incredible. Things that we once hated, the name of Christ, become precious. I've often wondered, and I have no way of really knowing, but I've often wondered about the incredible change that took place in Paul's thinking after he was converted. A hater of Christians to a proclaimer of the gospel. New identity. New practices. New relationships. New goals. All because of that conversion on the Damascus Road. Can I say this? I think you'll understand. We are to become more like Christ as we fellowship in obedience to the Word of God and seek under the leading of the Holy Spirit and the power of God to become more and more like Christ. And one day, we're going to be like Him. That's absolutely incredible to me. And so I say to anyone here tonight who might be a little bit discouraged, I mean, it's a learning process, isn't it? I mean, there are ups and downs in the Christian life. If it depended upon our feelings, I'm sure there are times when we don't feel saved. It's a process, and God is moving us with the help of God's people and obedience to the Word of God. God is moving us toward becoming more and more like His Son. And if we understand what John was writing in 1 John chapter 3, when we shall be like Him. Can I say this? Gary, the best is yet to come. Gary, you're secure now. You're in Christ. No man can pluck you out of His hand. And the Savior's hand is in the hand of Almighty God. You're secure. Yes, the world may be falling apart. The world may increasingly hate you. The world may be increasingly trying to change and neutralize the distinctiveness of your identity in Christ. But hang in there. With the people of God. Enjoy the fellowship. Be blessed by the challenges. And one day, Gary, you're going to be like the Savior. Gary, the best is yet to come. What a tremendous future we have. To God be the glory. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you. Lord, that the gospel is for any man, any person, to be in Christ, secure in Him, they are new creatures. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new, and we look forward, dear Lord, to that day when we stand in Your presence. Thank you, dear God, for saving us. Lord, may we not take it for granted. May we not think that there is anything special about us. May we humbly fulfill what you have for us to do with this message of reconciliation and this work that is still to be done. We ask these things in your precious and holy name. Amen.